Life is pleasant. Death is peaceful. It's the transition that's troublesome. That quip from writer Isaac Asimov might just explain why so many of us are so darn reluctant to talk about death. Although Hollywood doesn't mind poking its finger in the eye of the Grim Reaper.
Keep in mind, the root word of funeral is fun.
What can we do for you, sir?
I'm after a funeral.
Boy, are you in luck.
Unfortunately, our only options are cremation and burial.
Green funerals.
Oh, brother.
No caskets, no toxic chemicals to leach into the soil.
I want to be cremated. I want my ashes scattered over the sea. And damn anybody who touches me.
Gail Rubin makes it her mission to get us to think about death, to recognize that we humans are not getting out of here alive. So what are we going to do about it? Gail is a death educator, a certified thanatologist, and the author of A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. She's going to bring her death and humor message to Ann Arbor May 18th. But first, she is with us here on Stateside. Welcome, Gail.
Great to be with you, Cindy. Every day on this side of the sod is a good day.
Indeed. Or now departed Irish friend of mine said, no, I'm not ready for the berry hole yet. So, I have to say, I really love your catchphrase, talking about sex won't make you pregnant, talking about funerals won't make you dead. Start a conversation today. Why do we not want to take death out of the closet, Gail?
It can be attributed to Dr. Ernest Becker's terror management theory that he spells out in his book, The Denial of Death, which won a Pulitzer Prize back in the 1970s. We don't want to talk about something we're not comfortable with, and it takes good self-esteem to be able to consider your own mortality. And I heard Jack Canfield in talks referencing some study, which I've never been able to actually find, that says 2/3 of the adult population has low self-esteem. So look to your left, look to your right. One of you is okay, the other two are in trouble. And it's those 2/3, when you look at the rate of people who actually plan their funerals, do advanced medical directives, and even prepare wills, it's less than 30%. And I think it's that 30% that has the high self-esteem are the ones who are actually planning for death and talking about it and don't have a problem with it. So much of it is like, well, if I talk about it, it's going to happen. Well, you know, despite great advances in medical care, humans do still have a 100% mortality rate. And not talking about it does not help your loved ones or the medical community to deal with death when it will inevitably incur.
Yeah, let's talk about what happens when we do not talk about death and we don't take it out of the closet and have conversations. What are the results that you see?
Well, you have a lot of unnecessary stress because people don't have information pulled together. People don't know what your disposition preferences are. They don't know if you're in the hospital, if you want everything done, or if, you know, we should just let them go gently into that good night. And so there's a lot of confusion. People may overspend on a funeral out of guilt or grief. And it can be so much better if we just honestly talk to each other about, this is what I want, this is what I would like. If you can make it happen, that would be great. Just to give our loved ones some guidance about this transition from life to death, which will happen to us all.
And in your work, over the years of your work as a certified thanatologist, Gail, how have you seen people change once they're able to confront this reality that we aren't getting out of this life alive?
I get so many emails from people thanking me for doing this, getting out there, helping people laugh about death and break down that resistance, because then they will take the steps to write their advanced medical directives, to make a will, to even do their funeral plans. And I got to tell you, that's the best time to make your funeral plans is when nobody is dead. Mm. You know, you wouldn't go out shopping for a car and run right out and buy the first car that you came to when your car dies. But unfortunately, that is usually the case when a person dies. Very often we'll run out. Although, I got to tell you, the industry is changing in terms of helping people shop for information and prices online. And that's a big improvement in that regard.
Better for the consumer?
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, there's a website, I will give them a plug, called parting.com that offers free listing of funeral home price lists online.
Gil, what brought you to this work of helping the rest of us face death and plan to die?
It's very interesting. I got married for the second time in 2000 and had a very creative Jewish Western wedding. And everybody had such a good time, I wanted to write a book about creative life cycle events and call it Matchings, Hatchings, and Dispatchings, about weddings and births and deaths.
Okay.
And I got to write a column in our local paper, a monthly feature by that name, and it was the columns on the dispatchings, the funerals and death, that got the most reader response. And it told me there's a real need to be able to talk about this instead of using euphemisms for death to actually say the D word, just like cancer used to not be talked about. Well, now we talk about it all the time. So I'm out here to get death out of the closet.
The doyen of death. What do you find are the most important and most inspiring end-of-life issues that we need to stop ignoring?
To actually be present when someone dies is a very sacred time, just like being present when someone is born. And I think we've gotten out of touch with actually experiencing or even seeing the bodies of dead people, or, you know, being witnessing that transition. And it's a very moving and inspiring thing to witness. And I think part of that, I was there when my father-in-law died, and that really made a huge impact on me. It was a beautiful passing. It's not something, obviously, most people do every day, except for people in hospitals. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so great that we have this Grief Week awareness event at the university to help the personnel who are in the hospital, the doctors, the nurses, and all the staff, to be able to process grief. And one of those points that I'm going to make in this talk is about the Buddha. We're bringing in all kinds of philosophies here. Said that attachments are at the root of suffering. So being able to be fully present and to release your attachments emotionally is a key to being calm and centered and present to witness these remarkable transitions that we have in our lives.
Gail Rubin is a certified thanatologist, a death educator, and she will be making these appearances on May 18th, two programs in Ann Arbor. You can get the details on those appearances and more, learn more about Gail's work helping us confront death and plan for it by going to her website, agoodgoodbye.com. That's agoodgoodbye.com. Gail Rubin, great to talk with you. Thank you so very much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you, Cindy.